Well, I'd like you to turn to Psalm 100 as we'll look at that text today. Well-known psalm as we begin this series on worship from the Psalms that I'm calling Desire, our true desire to worship the Lord. What does that really mean when we talk about worship? Someone said, true worship happens when the reality of who I am meets the reality of who God really is. A failure to face the reality, they say, of who we are tarnishes worship with hypocrisy many times. But the failure to face the reality of who God really is in worship tarnishes it, or it can tarnish the worship with idolatry. And one of the best antidotes to the failure of either hypocrisy or idolatry in worship is what we learn in the Psalms. This book that God has given us, a book of praise and worship made up of prayers and songs and poems, helps us to really understand what worship is all about. Worship is the response of the creature to the eternal, someone said. Simply put, we make God in worship, in Jesus Christ, the center of attention. We come before Him to offer our praise, our gratitude, to confess our sin and confusion, to offer ourselves full of wonder and praise and love, being vulnerable in humility to God's desire and will for us. And as we come, God responds to us too, assuring us of forgiveness, comforting us, healing us, embracing us, teaching us, leading us, and sending us out to serve. It's a good picture of worship. The book of Psalms, someone said, give expression to the many voices that make up the real us as humans, and then bring us face to face with the true majesty and tender majesty of God Almighty. John Calvin said about the Psalms, he said, I've been wont to call this book an anatomy, meaning you should call it, an anatomy of all the parts of the soul, he said. For there is not an emotion that anyone deals with that is not represented here in the Psalms. So I hope, obviously, as Christians, we usually love the Psalms, but we're going to look at some of the Psalms that deal with what worship is really all about. And we think about worship, we've got to think about thanksgiving, don't we? Enjoy in our Christian lives as we come to worship. But the fact is that we're not always growing in that joyfulness in worship, are we, in that thanksgiving? I think every Christian sitting here would say that, yes, we want to be a more joyful people in worship with thanksgiving and praise to God when we come to worship. But the question is, how do we do that, especially when we think about corporate worship? This psalm addresses that. How do we grow to be a more thankful and joyful people of God? Because God is great. He is almighty. He is worthy of our praise. But we have to be reminded of that. We have to grow in being thankful and joyful in worship. And we notice this short psalm we know very well, Psalm 100, it's full of imperatives, commands, to shout, to come, to serve, to know. Seven imperatives altogether that teach us about joyfulness in worship, thankfulness in worship. So how do we grow to become more thankful? We see a progression in this psalm towards joyfulness and thankfulness as we are, as Christians, to give ourselves in worship, our whole selves in service, in singing, etc. And so by the grace of God, incorporating these into our everyday lives, and corporate worship, of course, is going to bring a growing joy in our Christian worship. So the first key that we see here to greater joy in worship and thankfulness is to start with thankfulness. To begin, now we kind of start at the end of this psalm, but remember they would use this psalm, probably the Jews, as they entered in to come in to worship the Lord. Someone said, the knowledge that the Lord is God and that they belong to Him and have great security and joy as His people as they went to the temple and worship, that gave them great security. And they were called to enter in with thanksgiving. They were given a call to worship of entering into the gates of God with thanksgiving to the temple there. Enter His gate with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. We've got to start with thanksgiving, thankfulness. Give thanks to Him and praise His name, for the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all the generations. So, what should our attitude be about as we come together as God's people entering into worship, into His house? We're especially talking here about corporate worship. I mean, I wonder how many times we really think about this as Christians. Do we really think about what our attitude and mindset should be as we're coming in to worship? How many people that we know that come to church on Sunday morning or other times in the afternoon, do we think about this? Some people, you fear, can come in, obviously, as we know in our day-to-day that we live in, focused on themselves, the mindset of consumerism and what will worship do for me? Will I have a greater experience spiritually, you know, of God? Or maybe they're distracted, you know, by what's going on in their lives and the problems and the difficulties there. And obviously God cares about what people are going through. Maybe they want the pastor, through what he says in the sermon, to fix some problem in their life. And if that doesn't happen, you know, it doesn't bring change, or it doesn't deal with what's relevant to them, they're frustrated. Or maybe they're looking down on other people as they come into church and they're critical and they're thinking, well, they really need to hear what this sermon has to say. We all think that at times, don't we? But what should our mindset be as we come in to worship? God says in Psalm 100, we're to enter His gates all together with a thankfulness to Him, joyful hearts, coming to praise Him, to make much of Him, to enjoy Him, and delight in Him. Is that what we're starting out with when we come in to worship the Lord? We're to enter His gates with praise, give thanks to Him, and praise His name. Now, we think of worship, generally, it's this attitude of humility, right, before an almighty God, like the definition we gave earlier of who we are standing before Almighty God. And that is true. We recall who He is, and we recall and see who we are. And it's this worship, this humble response of all of us in heart, soul, and voice at that time and action to bow before Him. But praise and thanks here, as it is talked about in the psalm, it's more of a particular expression of that attitude in word and song. Thanks, of course, is the acknowledgement of God's goodness. Through prayer, we express that in song and prayer. Praise, of course, a similar thing, but is linked with focusing on how great God is, saying that in what we sing and in our prayers. To bless means to serve, but also to speak well of God and His goodness, to bless His name. These are words used in this psalm. So if we want to have joy in worship, Psalm 100 says, first, start with thankfulness. That's where the psalm ends, but that's where we begin in true worship as we come together. Number two thing here is to sing with an aliveness. Verse 1, the beginning of the psalm, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. John Risbridger says this in his book on worship. He said, this is a loud and joyful song, not a dirge sung with long faces and hushed tones. It's a song of celebration, he said, pulsating with life and unrestrained delight. So do we think about worship that way? There are different parts of worship, but this is part of it. The psalmist starts out commanding us to sing with joy to the Lord in our hearts, to make a joyful, even if it is a noise, you know, for some of us we feel, commands us to sing to Him aloud with our hearts together, calling all those around us to joy, join together in shouting for joy to the Lord. Someone said, this is an international psalm written from a perspective of Israel's faith, but with a global vision. Do we think of worship this way? Many times people approach worship like it's a personal quest for a greater spiritual experience, like I said earlier. And certainly God meets us and deepens us and deals with things in our lives and helps us grow closer to Him. But worship is much, much greater than that. True worship arises from the awareness of God's glory and goodness so that we know He must be worshipped more and more by people all over the earth. And so worship affects our mindset of mission, us being witnesses. In true Christian worship, we call, in a sense, in our worship, all the earth to praise Him because He's the great God over all things. He made all things in the world, and everyone should praise this God. Now, we know they don't, and we know they won't. but it's still a part of our worship. The true worshiper will never be satisfied in themselves or just in the group they have to worship God just in that way, but desire that more and more people coming from all over the earth, from every tribe, tongue, and land, will stand before Christ's throne and worship Him, and one day stand before the Lamb, who is worthy, as Revelation says, of all praise. The whole creation is claimed in this psalm, one man said, for the glory of God, as all the earth is called to rejoice, to shout, to praise. Now, how does singing with aliveness, with joy, help us grow in thankfulness and joy and worship? And somewhat obvious, but let's talk about this some. How does it help us have an impact thankfulness in the lives of Christians around us? I've got a friend from years ago, haven't seen him in many, many years since I left America, but I remember Christian Chapman, this evangelist, telling me when he spoke in front of these kids one time at a school, and he noticed these kindergartners near the front, they were singing, you know, at this Christian school, praising and singing to God. And as his eyes went back to the back, he saw there was less and less singing as the kids got older and older. And he noticed when he got back to where the 8th or 9th graders were, basically there was no expression on these Christian school kids' faces whatsoever. I mean, I don't know the reason behind it, but I remember discussing it with him. We were talking about, you know, it's easy sometimes, isn't it, to go through the motions, but also to become, especially if we're Christians and we've been a Christian for a while, to become less God-conscious when we go into worship and more self-conscious, more focused on our own issues. And we all can struggle with this. But as one man said, worship is not a time to be self-conscious, but God-focused, God-conscious. I love this story about this church that had services one time at night, and it was dark outside, and halfway through the service it said the power went off and everything became totally black almost. The pastor was halfway through his sermon and he had to stumble through the message when it happened to the end. And at the end he's thinking, how are we going to close this? You know, the pianist can't see anything. He said, all right, let's sing Amazing Grace. Everybody knows that, and we'll sing it a cappella. And he said that the pastor was blown away as people were singing so passionately like they hadn't in a while and loudly as they were all in the dark singing Amazing Grace. See, sometimes we get so focused, don't we, as we're in worship on what's going on around us, what people are thinking, you know. Are we focused on God? Are we expressing our great love to Him and who He is, humbling ourselves before Him, coming in with that aliveness, with that joy, because we know this great God and we're able to come in Christ and worship Him? No, we get distracted sometimes, don't we? But it's like those people were in the dark almost and they didn't think about that. They were focused on God. And it's one thing that I like to do at times in worship is to close my eyes and focus on the Lord. It's easy sometimes. I know you might see me doing that up here at times or in the morning when I'm singing. But it helps you sometimes to focus on God, to focus on who you know He is, and tune out other things when you're singing, to focus on what the Word of God says to you after you've heard that sermon and you sing the closing hymn. To focus on the truths about God and how great He is and express that to God in worship. Sometimes, as someone said, we open our eyes and we close our mouths. And we need to focus on the Lord. We need to sing with great joy and enthusiasm because of who He is. And I know sometimes people feel like, well, I don't have a great voice. And, you know, I don't want to mess things up, I've even heard people say, you know. But if you learn to really think about it and seek God throughout the week, with praise and thanksgiving, you come in and you worship the Lord with joy. Focus on who He is. When you're singing a hymn like How Great Thou Art, think about what that song says, or any hymn. You might even close your eyes. Think about how great God is and express that great love and joy and commitment to Him. As you're focusing on the Lord, think about the meaning of what's been said in the sermon through His Word. What that song says. You can sing that song almost like a prayer to God. Sing to God that song and that hymn based on what it means to the Lord, expressing your love and your trust in Him and the joy that you have in Him. See, we're in worship to meet the Lord, to praise Him, to thank Him and pray to Him. And He wants to show us more and more of who He is. And part of that is us expressing what we know about Him and what He's showing us in worship. singing alive with aliveness, singing with an aloudness to God because of how great He is and the salvation we have in Jesus Christ. It is easy sometimes, isn't it, to come into worship without that aliveness and joy because we get so focused on other things, other distractions, and we can go through the motions. We can miss the heart of true worship and drawing near to God and knowing who He is and humbly coming before Him and expressing that to the Lord. The word used here for to sing with aloudness is the word shout. It literally means shout. Shout, sing to the Lord with aliveness and aloudness. Now, it doesn't mean everybody's going to be loud in worship. I realize that. And that's not all worship is about. But it does mean that worship is a lifestyle. And our attitude in worshiping God, whether in church or throughout the week in serving the Lord, it ought to be deeply rooted in a joy that's based in that relationship with God we have in Christ. And this is one of the reasons singing is so essential in worship, because while worship is about God, yes, it involves us. And whether it's done corporately or individually, the heart of worship is this personal connection and contact we are given by grace as we're able to come into worship and sing to Him and express our joy to Him and draw near to Him and meet the Lord. And that means that from the beginning of worship, we ought to be praying to God, talking to God, as worship starts, giving thanks to God, as this psalm says. We ought to continue on singing to Him because of who He is and how great He is, doing it with great joy. In Hebrew, when it says, worship Him with gladness, it then tells you how you do that. How? By coming before Him with joyful songs. That's how Hebrew poetry works, with repetition and with parallelism, where it's saying, this is how you worship Him with gladness. Come with joyful songs. This psalm calls us to exuberant, joyful worship, one man said, an excited worship. Some people think it was used to welcome the people into the temple, and it should remind us as Christians of the celebration part of our call to come and worship the Lord. We're to shout to the Lord, all the earth. Psalm 95 says something similar. Come, let us sing with joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song. Singing with joy to the Lord, starting on that high, if you will, connects our souls. I believe God uses it, helps us to reconnect with God. It helps us to remember who He is and who we are in humility, so that our hearts are softened as we come to worship Him, so that we'll hear Him and listen to Him as our focus is on how great He is and the salvation we've been given in Jesus Christ. Yes, it's good to be quiet in worship at times. Yes, of course, to listen. The Bible teaches us about that as well. But many times it's important to express ourselves, to worship Him, to sing to Him, to talk to God and tell Him how great a God He really is. So we need to remember that. The Bible tells us to come and sing praises, commands us to come and shout aloud to the Lord and sing to Him. See, Christianity, we know, is about a relationship with God that we have security in Jesus Christ in. But that's why we have a book like the Psalms that gives us how we respond to Him, how we come to Him. This is why we sing. We come, as David says, singing with joy to the Lord. We shout aloud because God, Christ, is our rock and our salvation. So we need to remember that as we come to worship the Lord. If we're not coming in to meet Him and experience His presence with us in great joy and thanksgiving about who He is, then how are we really worshiping Him? I'm not saying that people pretend that there's nothing wrong in their lives as they come into worship. Of course not. God does meet Christians where they are. He speaks through His Word. He teaches us. He leads us. He deals with us. But ultimately, we come in the beginning and we start with this joyful attitude. And we sing with aliveness and we seek Him with great joy, remembering who He is. Expression is essential to growing in the Christian life and becoming more and more joyful and more thankful. As we sing and connect with God and express from our soul what is true, and then we continue to have that song resounding with us And that joy that we have in the Lord in corporate worship, we take it out with us in the rest of the week. And God is with us. He helps us and strengthens us in knowing who He is. And then we see Him at work in our lives more and more. That's literally the word here. And it says resounding. Literally, it means in Hebrew resounding, meaning it stays with us. That song that we've had becomes a continual song in our hearts. And we are become more and more joyful in worship. So we start with thankfulness. We sing with aliveness. And we serve with an alertness. I remember one time this guy years ago at a Micah's in America was going around just doing all of his menial tasks, emptying the trash, doing all these things with such joy, talking to everybody. And I thought, why is it we don't sometimes see that joy in us as Christians when we serve the Lord? And somebody might even thought that he had excessive happiness. But, you know, I'm thinking maybe his tribe increase. Verse 2 really says, too, serve the Lord with gladness. Serve Yahweh with joy. Come before Him with resounding. See, I believe these commands work together. As you sing with aliveness and sing joyful songs to the Lord, then it resounds. It remains with you throughout the week. And it causes us to be more alert to God's work in our life through all the opportunities as we live out our Christian life in service for Him, as we serve Him with gladness. But the other side of the coin is this. As you depend on Christ throughout the week, alert to what God is doing through you and serve Him with gladness, letting Him work through you, then your joy in Him increases, and that boosters our joy together as we come together in corporate worship on Sundays. And then you really serve and bless the Lord through corporate worship. In the context of talking about coming together here in Psalm 100 corporately to praise and thank God as His people, He says, serve the Lord through all of your life. Worship the Lord with gladness. I mean, when we talk about having a church service, why do we say that? I mean, serve obviously means to minister, but it also means here to bless. Part of worship on Sunday is that we celebrate in prayer and thanksgiving and praise who God is and what He's doing through our lives throughout all of life. Isn't that true? And if we're not alert to what God is doing in our service with joy throughout the week, serving the Lord with gladness during the week, then probably we won't enter into His courts with thanksgiving and joy and praise when we come together. They work together. One of the most important things we can do with our corporate worship is to be alert. Stay alert to God throughout the week for how God is working in your life and how He's called you to serve Him. And be aware of His presence and how He's leading you and using you. And we see the cycle here. Shout, sing in corporate worship for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Verse 2, worship or serve God with gladness. And then come before Him with joyful songs. The psalmist wants to communicate what the entire Bible teaches. God is so great. He made us, redeemed us. And therefore, worship is a lifestyle that involves corporate worship, yes, coming before Him also, though, in prayer time and individual time and singing with joy throughout the week, serving Him in everyday situations with gladness. This is the thanksgiving God is looking for ultimately. A joyful, thankful life is worshipful. One that's thankful in everyday life, glad as we serve, as we care for our families, as we do the things God's called us to do, as we use His spiritual gifts in the service of His church. Hebrews 13:16 says, "And don't forget to do good and share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased." That's a part of our worship as well. We must remember that. And that leads me to the final point here. Not only start with thanks, sing with aliveness, serve with alertness, but submit with an awareness. Now, this is really at the heart of the psalm in a way that you could overlook what worship is really all about. We shout to the Lord. We sing to Him, we serve Him, We sing with aliveness, serve with awareness, but we submit. We serve with awareness, but we submit with an awareness to Him as well. In the Bible, someone said, worship is never a mere feeling to be worked up. It's always a response to what God has revealed about Himself. Someone said, true enjoyment of God doesn't come from singing our favorite songs, having music that conforms to all our preferences, even having a certain atmosphere. True enjoyment, this man said, of God arises from deepening in the knowledge of who God is. There's no worship outside of that without a submission to His awareness, an awareness of that. It's just like friendship. The joy of friendship grows when you get to know that friend more and more deeply. It's no different with God. D.A. Carson said, those who focus much on Christ have much for which to praise Him. Those whose vision is on themselves dry up like inside like prunes, he said. God is our reason for praise. Worship has its reasons, and it rests on the security of who we have and know in Jesus Christ. The more we become aware of who we worship and who has made us and redeemed us, the more we're aware then of who we are in humility and what God has given us in everyday life, the more humility we'll have about us, and it causes us to look at ourselves and God and others differently. And that growing awareness of who God really is makes us more thankful and joyful towards Him. And as a people of God, as this submitting or humility before God grows, we are surrendered more and more to Him. And this prepares us for the final call to thanks that we have together in verses 4 to 5. But look at verse 3. We see this submitting to God with awareness and humility. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. One translation says, acknowledge that Yahweh, He is God. He Himself made us, and we're His. His people, the flock, He pastures. The very heart of a joyful, thankful life as a Christian is realizing that we're not autonomous. He made us. He saved us. We're His flock, His people. We need to have that awareness if we're going to have growing joy in worship. We must practice constantly acknowledging who God is, reflecting on that truth, and that He redeemed us and He sustains us. It produces greater true worship, heartfelt worship. We need to remind ourselves regularly of this, and then we'll become more joyful. And without that knowledge and regular acknowledgement, life has a way. If without that regular acknowledgement and living our own way, then we'll tend to go away from that. The psalmist reminds us of the need to be aware. How can we be more aware? Three things here briefly that we see in this psalm. Be aware of who God is. Reflect on what it means that God is God. Doesn't the psalm say that? Know that the Lord, He is God. We're to meditate on His sovereignty. Recall that He's our Creator and our Redeemer. To take to heart that we were made for Him. He has claimed us as His own in Jesus Christ. Someone said, knowing truth about God and experiencing joy in God are not incompatible opposites. They belong together. Knowledge without response and joyful worship, it's not God-focused. No, if we have knowledge without a response, it's not going to be true worship. Worship without true knowledge of God is idolatry. It's our own idea of God. He says, the Lord is good. His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all the generations. Worship literally means we bow down before Him. It's being truly ourselves and who we are before who He truly is. I like what Tom Holliday said. He said, when you realize God is God, He made us, He created us, He redeemed us, then we truly worship Him. Then we're truly full of joy in our worship to the Lord. It means we know God is in control. Every thought we think, He knows that every person we meet, He loves them. He is in control. He's Almighty God. Second thing is be aware of what God has done and He is doing. We're to sense His presence as we worship Him. Verse 3, know that the Lord is God, it is He that made us, and we're His. We're His people, the sheep of His pasture. He alone is Almighty God, and that means He is the Creator who claims us as His own. We're His. And while we know the world rejects this idea, the Bible tells us clearly that our true joy, the ultimate basis for our worship and joy in God, is the fact that God is in control. He is sovereign, and He has given us salvation in Christ, and we belong to Him. The world tells us that that doesn't matter. That's not joy and happiness there. But we know, as Christians, that's where true joy is, in knowing that He is our Redeemer. He has made us. We're His people, the sheep of His pasture. We're not mere accidents trying to survive like the world says. We know Almighty God. He made us and He saved us for Himself. That's the basis for our worship and our joy in worship. The Lord made us to know Him and love Him and enjoy Him, and that is eternal life. Didn't Jesus say that? That's eternal life, to know the Father. And we as Christians, we know we belong to Him twice, don't we? Because He created us, and Jesus came to redeem us from rebellion. We're His. 1 Peter 2 says, you were like sheep going astray, but now you've returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your soul. We belong to Him. We reflect on who He is and on what He's doing and what He's done. John 10:11, we read earlier, He said, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives up His life for His sheep. And the third thing is to help us grow in awareness and worship. Why God has saved us. We're to cultivate thankfulness. That'll help us worship with joy. Cultivate thankfulness for His goodness. We're His people, the sheep of His pasture. And we need to remember that in our worship, don't we? That we acknowledge that, that we're His people in all that we're going through. We regularly acknowledge in everything we're involved in as Christians, in every day, in all of our service, and when we come together and worship Him as His people, that we are His, and all these good things in our life come from Him. God always takes care of us. He's the one who made us. We belong to Him. He guides us. He directs us. The more we understand and remember that, the more it fills us with great joy as we reflect on His goodness and realize that everything we have comes from Him. We're totally dependent on Him as our shepherd who cares for us. So we need to remember His goodness. We need to savor it. We need to enjoy it. We need to reflect deeply on what He's given us in Jesus Christ. And that's one of the things we do as we come to the Lord's table, isn't it? We remember His amazing grace. We focus on it. We reflect on His grace and all that He's given us in life, knowing that He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He's with us to the very end of the age. His love and His mercy, Psalm 23 says, follow us to the very end. And so we need to remember that as we come to the Lord's table today. God has created us and saved us in Christ, and we are His sheep. We're in His care, under His care. We're in His flock, His pasture. He has other sheep in the fold He cares for, as Jesus said, and we're together in this as Christians. We remember that as we come to communion, as we celebrate and remember Jesus who died for us, the good shepherd who laid down His life for the sheep. We belong to Him, and that fills us with great joy as we worship Him, as we seek to follow Him. So let's prepare our hearts and minds as we pray and we prepare to come to the Lord's Supper today.